WEEI Afternoons, that's Kristaps Porzingis trying to convince himself and the world that the pressure is off the Celtics, but he's wrong because, as he alluded to, they are expected to win. This segment of WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you gotta get Glassman. Call sevens. That's all sevens. 617-777-7777. We are talking about that embarrassing performance by pretty much everybody who had either a jersey on or a Celtics logo on their warm-up or whatever they wear on the sidelines. I will say, real quick here, I did think the crowd showed up earlier and was trying to do their part.
They listened to you, bud.
I think they heard you. Yeah. Or just got used to a little bit earlier start time. So I'm going to remove the crowd criticism from the equation. But everybody else, you weren't good enough. You didn't do your job well enough. And I do believe the pressure is on because I do believe, Kristaps Porzingis, this is a must-win game on Saturday. Or this will be an embarrassing effort. And I don't care about all those numbers from Terp about six straight NBA champions. You're built for this. You're built different. You're in the prime. You got the stars. You're supposed to go on a run here. We will be talking about this among some of the great failures in Boston sports history, whether it's the Bruins a couple years ago coming off the record-setting numbers, some of the Patriots coming up short maybe in 2007. This will be a historic collapse, but we're not there yet, so we're just talking about two losses here. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Leo in Ipswich. What are your thoughts on what the Celtics are doing or not doing right now, Leo?
It kind of crystallized a lot of things this series because they've got all this talent, but the problem is their most talented players are not the heady players. They're not the ones that know you have the nuance of the game that Derek White does, Drew Holiday does, and maybe even Pritchett. But you get the other guys, they've been the best all their lives, and they don't have the head for anticipation and thinking about outside the box, you know, being in the right place, heading under the basket to grab a quick rebound because this is the angle of the ball, or, you know, pass the ball in and then jump in and get self in position. They just don't do it. They almost got too much talent that they didn't get the nuance of the game.
All right, thanks for the call, Leo. I don't know, because I don't know what to think about when it comes to Jason Tatum, because all I hear from Doris Burke and national writers are how smart he is, how much he knows basketball. I even thought early in this game he was playing a different style. Now, I actually thought that was bad, Ted, and I don't know how you felt about this. I thought Jason Tatum heard the noise and played like he had heard the noise and was passing and was not shooting as much. I think he has rabbit ears, and I think he wants to be so good and so adored by the basketball world that he ebbs and flows. But I also think he's supposed to be a heady player. He's supposed to be a smart player, and that just isn't leading to the execution in these most important of games.
And that's exactly right. It's like, you know, I think he's gotten a lot better at kind of breaking down double teams. I think he used to not be very good at that. So I think he's smartened up with that. But, you know, there's also situational basketball. And Andy, you and I have kind of harped on this going back way back when we thought was the turning point, you know, where they stopped being just an average team back in early, I think, February, and they started turning around. It's because Jason Tatum didn't recognize the 2-for-1 opportunity he had in that game, and that's when Mazzulla got all over him before halftime, and then they came out and went gangbusters. Like, it's almost like situationally at the end of games, this isn't a smart team. It's not a smart coaching staff, and it's not the players don't. I mean, the players, Jason Tatum, it was like he didn't know what to do at the end of this game to not get a shot off with all the time. I think they got the rebound with 17 seconds left, and you're like, holy crap, they're not calling a timeout. Didn't we all have that feeling of felt this before? Okay, here we go. What happens? And Tatum doesn't get the shot off. So it's on both entities, both coaching and players. But situationally, Our basketball IQ is not as high as it needs to be, Fitzy.
Yeah, here's the thing I don't understand. He's not a second year player. He's 8 years into the league. He is now the world champion, and the what they're gonna say now edict of last postseason is about to sour and be a really bad take that could potentially get thrown back in his face, Andy, if he doesn't turn it around. But I just don't understand why. No, I don't think anybody can, and we don't necessarily expect this to turn into a referendum on Jason Tatum, but if you're the man, you're the highest paid player in the league, if you're the leader, if you're the champ, and you want to be the face of the league, then you want to call down the thunder. Well, now you got it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why there's no consistency to the game. Why is he asleep? You guys don't see all the things he does. Great, awesome rebounds. Oh, a couple cool assists. That's great. You have to be the best player in the court. There is no excuse. You have to facilitate other people being great, or you need to be the greatest one. And last night, he did neither, and the same was true two nights prior.
And this is absolutely a referendum on his legacy and who he is and the type of player he is, in part because he asks for that. If he was quiet, never said a word, never brought his stature up or any of that, it might be different.
And you see him in every other commercial. I mean, every commercial right now is has got Tatum in it.
Right. He wants to be the man, except he isn't the man. He's not him. And he's falling flat on his face specifically in this series. So this is absolutely a referendum on him. And now I saw, it was actually, I think, on First Take this morning, is this a referendum, or maybe they used a different word, on Tatum and Brown? And you know I'm a bit of a defender. Do I think it's a little bit of a referendum on the pair? Yes, but Jaylen Brown has deferred. I think he's allowed Tatum to be the superstar here and been whatever he is considered after that. So the most respected or best player, yes, absolutely gets the criticism when your team sucks, when your team falls apart, when you look lost. And I feel bad for Tatum because I'm going to bitch about the final play, and it's him with the ball and it's him with the pass. That's on Missoula. So for Tatum to get it and be like, oh, so I just got to do this. We don't have like a game plan here. We don't have it's like razzle dazzle time in football where you expect the fastest kid on the field to just beat the 11.
Can we just flesh that out a little bit? Like, do we know for sure? Like, I know that's what Missoula said, but like, it looked more like just backyard basketball. Did they look over and see Missoula signal in, okay, this is the play we're running? I didn't. And if they did, like, part of me just doesn't want to excuse Tatum in that situation. Part of me just wants to feel like if that's your version of pick up basketball, you suck at it. But if it was if it truly was a set call, then I put more on Joe. But I don't know. How did you guys see that part?
I put it on Joe. I think you've got to call a timeout there. I actually think, we talk a lot about Bill Belichick's ego, right? And all these coaches have egos. I think most coaches want to call the timeout there to drop the play, to show their acumen, to show their basketball IQ, to free up their guy. I mean, Tibbs did it the other night when they had that run to the basket for Jalen Brunson. It was like the fake screen. Now, if it had gone in, it would have been even better. But, as a coach, isn't that your opportunity to really put your stamp on the game, to show what you're made of? Like that, I think Joe Mazzulla and his staff should have wanted to call a timeout there, if anything, to kind of show their own greatness, themselves into
the game. That's how he operates. It's so infuriating. It's the whole he's the most, he wants to be, that's why I call him Montessori Mazzulla. He wants to be the hands-off coach that just lets them learn on their own. Great.
Okay, well, so go somewhere else then. I don't want that anymore.
Believe me.
I'm
far from the biggest Joe Mazzulla fan in town. I've taken plenty of guff for it. I'll continue to do so. And if they storm back, win four, and make way to banner number 19, rub it in my face, I don't care. Last night I had some knucklehead on Twitter right back when I clapped out aloud about Mazzulla not taking the timeout and going home with one. Somebody was like, oh, yeah. What about Belichick not calling a timeout in Super Bowl 49? To which it's such a stupid comparison because they had all of the intel and advanced scouting that said based on the personnel the Seahawks were sending in, they thought they were going to run a pass play. Guess what? They were right. Mazzulla thought, oh, I can just run back the same play I just ran 20 seconds ago against one of the better defensive head coaches in the league. That was so green, just like it was, just like Hakimich came back to bite him in the ass because they brought in Anunoby, and then the Knicks are in the bonus, and now you've got really good shooters and not some, you know, clod on the court who can't make a free throw.
And I wonder, guys, if that's like, if that's Mazzulla saying that they just wanted to do the same play that they ran, you know, just before that. It's his way of just kind of saying, it's because I don't know how to draw a good inbound play. I mean, seriously. Like, and the thing is you needed 2 points to win the game, not three.
Yep,
so you didn't have to get a shot behind the 3 point. You, there's so many creative things you could come up with to get a guy open for a open 2 point shot. And it's almost as if they're like, nope, don't want to do it. Don't want to expose, you know, and not come up with a bad inbound play. I don't want people to like see my, you know, my coaching acumen. It just was mind boggling. Some would argue, well, you didn't call a timeout because you got the players you want on the court and the matchups you want. Really? Okay. You know, you're giving them way too much credit if you think that that's what they were doing in that moment.
Points.
Let's squeeze in another phone call here, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Bob in Londonderry. Bob, what were your reactions to that loss for the Celtics last night?
Well, I enjoy the show, and today it's been the big talk of everything. But, you know, from the beginning, I've been on the other side of the coin, meaning look at last night. I've never seen such a lackluster, soft effort. I'm the only one today, and I finally get the call. What was this through the beginning to the end of the game of the Celtics constantly laying on the floor and getting knocked over? And, you know, I hear the morning show and other people talk about the 86 Celtics. You realize if you hit Kevin McHale in the head with a hammer, he'd take it off you and he'd put it where you wouldn't want it. These guys, what a bunch of, they're laying down. What an embarrassing. And I'm not saying it's 100% over, but just remember, it's easy to say this, but I told you people 4+ years ago, after the Bruins debacle, I said, reality, you're not going to see the Patriots again do what you've seen. You're not going to see the Red Sox, the Bruins, or the Celtics.
All right, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, they won the title last year, so I'm not taking victory laps for something you said they were done 4 years ago when they literally won the title last year. But the toughness, hit them in a hammer and they might fall over versus hit them in the hammer and they may take the hammer and beat you with your own hammer kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The comparison is apt because stupid or not, dumb or not, fair or not, right or not, beginning in the year, we were talking about, could this be one of the greatest Celtics teams ever? Could they set records? Could they? I mean, they obviously are trying to do something that hasn't been done since Bill Russell's Celtics, and that's defend a title for the Boston Celtics. So I think those comparisons to Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, these all-time great teams are fair right now, and they are really failing to measure up in that area. 617-779-7937. Taking you up to the top of the hour, it's going to be an entertaining Christian Arcan show tonight. I know that, because if you think we have energy and reactions, just magnify that, and that's what Arcan does, even without the fruit that is these ugly losses for the Boston Celtics. So we'll finish out WEEI Afternoons with Odds and Ends, which just means lightning round. We'll get to as many of your calls and opinions as we can up next here on WEEI Afternoons.